Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also. Because he is the Son of Man, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
You know, last week we talked about words and how important words are in our lives. Today I would like to expand on that thought, and today I want to talk about the voice that expels the words that we use so daily. You know, so many people are recognized by their voice. We don't have to see them. We can just listen and understand and know who they are simply by the voice that they have. You know, our voice tells us a lot about ourselves. With the manner with which we speak, people understand maybe our gender, our education, the confidence that we have in what we say. It may tell everyone our feelings and our emotions at the time. If someone came up to you and had a scowl look on their face and an angry voice, would you know what emotion they're carrying probably? We would know that, wouldn't we? Sure we would. You know, voice tells us so much about ourselves. Your voice often also reveals what kind of Christian you are. Your Christian voice says a lot to people with everything that you say. But you know, even with all of our abilities to talk to each other, to communicate our feelings, our emotions, our ideas, even though we have that ability, the voice of man has limitations. For one, the voice is limited to what we say here on earth. It cannot reach farther out without mechanical help. The sound of our voice soon vanishes, and we don't hear the same voice any longer. And another thing about the voice is that it cannot reach beyond the grave. You know, so many people have left clues as to whether or not they can communicate from this side of eternity to the other side of eternity, and none of those things have actually worked. The voice is not infallible. It is incapable of perfection. And the reason for that is because the human mind that controls the voice is incapable of perfection. The voice is never infallible in the authority of religion. And we know that to be true today because there are hundreds of religions in the world today because man has used his voice to change that which God has given to them. And even though there are many voices in the world that claim to be infallible, we know that that's not true. There is, however, one voice that rings sweeter and clearer and truer than any other voice that has ever walked the face of this earth. And that, of course, is the voice of the Son of God. Today it shall be our purpose to focus in on the voice of the Son of God. What makes his voice so different from anyone else? What makes his voice so commanding and so dominant in our lives? I want to mention several things about the voice of the Son of God. And it might help us to understand maybe a little bit better as to why we need to listen to him instead of the voice of a man or of something else. First of all, the voice of the Son of God is the voice of authority. He even gave himself that authority in Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29. Matthew wrote these words, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one of having authority and not as one of the scribes." Now we know that Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees in so many ways. But there was something different about Jesus Christ, that when he spoke, people understood him, listened to him, more so than they did the scribes or the Pharisees. One great example of Jesus' voice being that of one of authority is found at the Transfiguration. We find this in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1 through 5. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, this is quite a scene. This is quite a collection of characters. Here we have Jesus standing in this place, and he is talking, first of all, to Moses. Moses was the one who led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And Jesus is talking to him. Moses has already died. This is the figurine of Moses that God has sent to the earth to speak to Jesus. And the other one being Elijah. Elijah was the powerful prophet of God who proved to the children of Israel that the God was the true God, the one true and living God. He was also the one who destroyed the 400 false prophets of Baal. No doubt, two great orators of God from the Old Testament. Two great men of voice, great leaders who led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and led them as they lived their lives. And they're standing there on that mountain, and they're talking with Jesus. And while the three of them are standing there talking, all of a sudden a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." In other words, three great men are standing here in this place. Jesus is the one that you listen to. It is his voice that you pay attention to. You know, in fact, Moses, he actually promised the children of Israel, and this was about the coming of Christ, that there would be a prophet that would be like him, that would be like Moses, the great orator. In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, Moses said, "And the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." There is going to be something about this one that's coming. There is going to be something about him that is so far greater than Moses himself. And Moses is admitting this himself. Now, Peter tells us of the fulfillment of this particular prophecy in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. He said, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" Now, Peter is telling us two things here. He is telling us we need to listen to the voice. Because if we don't listen to this voice, we can be condemned and destroyed. So today, we hearken to the voice of the Son of God. God gave Jesus all authority. Jesus verifies this when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. In verse 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, when someone has all of anything, what does that mean? Everyone else has none of it. All authority has been given to God. All authority has been given to His Son, and none of it has been given to man, which does not give man the right to go out here and change what God has given to them. Jesus has authority. He is God's spokesman today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says that God in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. So as important as these Old Testament people are, as important as their words are, they are nothing compared to the words of the Son of God. Jesus Himself said, John 14 in verse 6, He said, "It is me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And again, when you hear this statement, does that mean that there is another way? No, there is not another way. It is Jesus Christ. It is by His words only. But now here's a thought. What if you choose to reject this voice? What if you choose to reject the voice of Jesus Christ? We find the answer in Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus Himself speaking, He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. He's talking to the Father. And he who rejects me, rejects Him who sent me. If you reject God, you reject the Son. And if you reject the Son, you are lost. His voice is the voice of authority. The voice of the Son of God is also the voice of power and of might. You know, I don't have to tell you this, but there are so many times that men say things they just simply can't back up. I proved that a few moments ago. I tested this whole thing out before we started service this morning, and it worked like a charm. And it did not work when I needed it to. Human things fail. But the voice of God can back up everything that it says. Men, what they promise is sometimes beyond their power to produce. Not only that, but sometimes men speak things that are beyond their own knowledge. Have you ever done that? Have you ever stuck your neck out and said something and you really didn't know what you were talking about? I'll raise my hand to that. We've all done that. But yet the Lord has time and time again demonstrated the power of His Word. God has demonstrated the power of His Word from the very beginning. In the beginning, God said, and it happened. Let there be light, and it happened. Let the day and the night divide itself, and it happened. Let the land and the water divide itself, and it happened. Let the animals appear, let it happen. Let the trees grow, let the plants grow, let everything be green, and it happened. With the spoken word, it happened. The voice of God is powerful. He spoke the world into existence. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Jesus performed many miracles that we have record of. Many more than what we have record of. And in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, it talks about how He did this. It says that when evening come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. With the word. He did not have to give them special medication. He didn't have to do anything other than speak, and it happened. The voice of God is filled with power and might. The voice of God, of the Son of God, is the voice of instruction. Truth is discovered by the teaching of Jesus. It was Jesus' word who brought us to this point today in our life. Jesus said to the Pharisees, John chapter 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What truth? God's truth. The Son of God's truth. And how did we get it? Through his voice. To follow the voice of Jesus is to walk in the light. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And hearing the word and doing the word, it means salvation. There is a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7 that indicates this fact very well. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Let me tell you something, my friends. You and I all sit here today, Christians, and we are founded on the rock. The storms may come, the winds may blow, the rain may beat, but we can stand firm because we are standing on the voice of the Son of God. His teaching is manifested through the apostles' teaching because he told them what to say, and that is what they said. In the second part of the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28 and verse 20, he tells his disciples, not only to go and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but he also told them to teach them. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Because their word came from Christ. And their word is complete. Their word is effective because it came from the voice of the Son of God. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. How can the man of God be complete? Because he has received it from the voice of the Son of God. That is why we have what is complete. The voice of God, the voice of the Son of God. It is the voice of instruction. And the voice of the Son of God is also the voice of judgment. Jesus said it, John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Judgment, my friends, is a promised day. It is not a day that may happen and may not happen. It will happen because it has been promised by God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this, the judgment, it will take place. And this judgment God has placed into the hands of his own Son, the one who gave us the voice to give us the commandments that we are to follow. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad. What this means is, my friends, is that Christ, the words of Christ, is the standard by which we will be judged. It will not be by what some man has said, or what some man-written creed has said, or what some other law that men have given. We will be judged by the standard, which is God and the Son of God. You know, this came as a surprise to those in Greece in Acts chapter 17. When Paul told them here in verse 30 and 31, he said, and he's talking about God here, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands everywhere to repent. To do what? Repent. To change. To make a difference. To go in the opposite direction. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And we know that on this occasion when Paul said these words, that they were confused. They were astonished. Some people mocked these words and others said, hey, we want to hear more about this. We want to hear more words from this voice, this Son of God, because this is the voice of judgment. And then, the voice of the Son of God is the voice of appeal. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus made an appeal for all to come to him, for all to follow him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You know, I guess maybe we need to be a little bit like Bartimaeus. We remember him from Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. We too, like him, are blind. We too, like him, are helpless. We too, like him, need the great physician. The idea is that we need to see Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. We need to listen to the voice of Jesus. We need to be like, well, Noah, for example. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, God told Noah, come into the ark. He'd already had Noah to make this great monstrosity of a boat. Come into the ark, you and all of your household. Why does Noah need to listen to this voice? Because this is the voice of salvation for Noah. If Noah and his family don't get into this boat that he has just built, he will perish like the rest of the world. Today, Jesus is pleading for us to enter into his boat, into his fold of safety. We need to listen to his voice when he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. And the only way that we can do that is to listen to the voice. So we plead with everyone, harden not your heart. As Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. I want to tell you this morning, my friends, Jesus is standing at your door. And he is knocking at your door. And if you'll notice from the picture on the screen, there is no doorknob there. He can't open that door. You have to open the door from the inside. You have to answer the voice of the Son of God. We must be willing to hear his voice. We must be willing to know that it is the voice of authority. We must know that it is the voice that is filled with power and might. That it is the voice of instruction. That it is the voice of judgment, and that it is the voice appealing to you today to give your life to him. Oh, did I say this? His voice, the one voice, the only voice, is the voice that can save you. My friends, it is him only. I am the way, he said. that excludes all other ways. We must listen to him. I implore you today, my friends, to listen to the voice of Jesus. Today, if you're not a Christian, obey his voice. Hear him. Believe what he has to say to you. Develop a faith that will move you to action. Develop a faith that will cause you to change your life, that will cause you to turn away from the worldliness that is within you, that will cause you to confess who Jesus is and how important his voice is as the Son of God, and that will cause you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. As Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. That's what the voice says. That's what we must do. And Christian friend, if you have stopped listening to that voice, if you have stopped hearing him, you need to come back to the Lord and listen to him again. One thing he tells you, that if sin comes back into your life, if you will confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, God will forgive you of these sins and return you to his fold. Isn't that wonderful words? We can still be saved even though we go astray. But it comes through his voice. Listen to his voice. His voice is everything to you. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.